Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
Ah, this is the Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening, live in Los Angeles, iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, and FS1. Wild show today. 1 hour from now, the Herd hierarchy, top 10 NFL teams. 2 hours from now, the Eagles' Lane Johnson, who I have ripped repeatedly, will join us on the show. Joy Taylor is joining me for a Tuesday today. I've said before, if I blast you on my show, I always invite you on my show. I blasted T.O., invited him on, totally respect that. Blasted Baker Mayfield, brought him on. Richie Incognito, if I blast you, I make sure my guest bookers reach out to bring you on the show. And Lane Johnson, to his credit, is not backing down. He has my least favorite quote in the NFL. I'll get to that later, but let's start with this. Over the last two nights, Sunday night and Monday night, most of you think we have three elite Super Bowl teams, New England and Kansas City, and then Green Bay last night. And we only have two, New England and Kansas City. Green Bay is not a Super Bowl team. There is a big difference for New England at home being tied with healthy Kansas City, undefeated Kansas City, several stars Kansas City, no rebuilding Kansas City, headed to the Super Bowl Kansas City. And there's a big difference between the Packers being tied late with rebuilding C.J. Beathard, a bunch of C-minus running backs, and playing for next year San Francisco. Green Bay is not a Super Bowl team. The Green Bay Packers offense has become, hey, Aaron Rodgers, save us. The Green Bay Packers offense has become, hey, Aaron, we're trailing in the fourth. Can you make some of those really cool back shoulder throws? It's not clever. Aaron is. It's not creative. Aaron is. It's not intuitive. Aaron is. Listen to this stat. In the last 3 years, this is with Aaron Rodgers, Green Bay in the first three quarters of games is minus 91 with Aaron Rodgers. In the fourth quarter, they're plus 105. That tells you that Aaron Rodgers is a life preserver for a mostly marginal coaching staff and marginal roster. I watched that game last night. My takeaway was, damn, I can't wait to watch Garoppolo with the Niners next year. There's a bunch of young 49ers. I was like, oh, this is going to be fun next couple of years in San Francisco. They out-schemed Green Bay all night. Do you realize on the road with C.J. Beathard, the 49ers averaged almost a yard more per pass than Aaron Rodgers at home with veteran coach Mike McCarthy. And what really struck me after the game, remember on Sunday night, we watched that precise and exact and that systematic march down the field, nonchalant by New England to win the game. It was a two-minute drill instructional videotape, like they'd practice it 1,000 times. The pacing, the precision, the accuracy. It was almost a 7-on-7 drill. They each knew what the other was doing. Last night, Green Bay gets the ball in the huddle, a minute left, and this is what Aaron Rodgers said happened.
David Bakhtiari actually suggested that first play, so I got to give him credit, or else he'll tell me about it tomorrow. But he suggested that play, and then Ty obviously ran the ball well and got out of bounds.
So an offensive lineman turned to him in the huddle and said, hey, Aaron, remember that play we ran last year in November? Why don't you give that a run? Does that sound like how they do it in Belichick land, in Brady land? He turned to an offensive lineman who said, hey, I draw it up in the dirt, but we got grass. Remember that play we ran a couple years ago? Why don't we go ahead and try that one? Wow. Yesterday I said there are nine teams I think can play for the Super Bowl this year. capable of beating multiple teams back-to-back in the playoffs. I needed, though, to see two teams more. Carolina, I'll wait till they go to Philadelphia this weekend, and Green Bay. I've seen Green Bay. This is not a Super Bowl team. This is not a Super Bowl team. Schemes, personnel. By the way, if it was not for that gift call late in the game, Richard Sherman was called for illegal contact. Monday Night Football showed about two frames of it. Aaron got sacked. And apparently, they get a first down because of, right there, you're watching it, that move by Richard Sherman. If not, it's 4th and 19. They're punting the ball to San Francisco, which has all three timeouts left and can go in for the winning score. So Aaron Rodgers' career, and I'm not saying he's without some blame, is starting to feel a lot like Dan Marino's, where it's like 12 to 15 years of, wow, he's really good. Some real regular limping at the end of it. And when it's all done, why didn't he end up in the Super Bowl more? He was so darn good. That's what it's starting to feel like to me. I wanted to watch Green Bay next couple of weeks. I've seen enough. Schemes, clever, intuitive, none of it. I was blown away by the effort of San Francisco. I was shocked, outside of Aaron Rodgers, at the lack of schematics, personnel, clever, unique I saw from Green Bay. Let me shift gears to this. The NBA season opens tonight. Lakers open in a couple of nights. And the NBA season's long. It is October 16th today, Joy. And the NBA finals generally wrap up around June 16th. So October, oh, that's 8 months. That's 8 months. And so you can only write about Denver's hosting the Wizards so many times. You need eyeballs. So the NBA media every year or two, or every year I should say, finds a player or two that they gotta create some interest. But this year, LeBron's not leaving. He's in L.A. for the next 4 years. So the big story you're seeing talked about all the time is Kevin Durant is leaving the Warriors at the end of the year. I just saw this one from a Slam Magazine, which is the Motel 6 of NBA journalism. You should get a pom-pom with your subscription. Kevin Durant, I'll believe it when I see it, is going to leave Golden State. Starting tonight, it's 8 months of NBA basketball. It's an exhausting NBA season. We really start watching this league in May and June, and you got to have stories. And this will be a really interesting story. But where's Durant going to go? The Knicks, just like LeBron was going to go to New York, and Wade was going to go to New York, and Chris Paul was going to go to New York, and every free agent is going to go to New York. He's not going to New York. Kyrie Irving an hour ago said he was going. Then he backtracked and told Boston, I'll resign. You're going to go back to D.C., his hometown? Oh, please. The Wizards players don't even want to be in D.C. Players don't actually love playing in their hometowns. LeBron's left his twice. It's more of a headache. This whole idea that Kevin Durant's going to join the Lakers. Yes, the Lakers would love that to happen. Magic Johnson would love that to happen. I'm sure Laker fans would love that to happen. But don't kid yourself. These NBA players may appear to get along, but they protect their legacies. And for the first 10 years that Kevin Durant and LeBron have been in this league together, LeBron's won all those years. They only met once in the finals. LeBron won, Durant lost. But let's be honest, last 10 years, mostly LeBron. But the last two, Durant's won. And for the next 5 and 6, Durant can win all of them. Meaning the last 7, 8 years of Kevin Durant's career, he may have lost the first decade to LeBron every year. He could win the last 7 to 8 years against LeBron. Why in the world, when these players protect their legacies with every PR firm they can hire, every top agent they can hire, every shoe company to build their legacy, why would Kevin Durant, with an opportunity in the last 8 years of his career to beat LeBron, surpass LeBron, equal LeBron, help LeBron win titles? Not to mention, next year, the Warriors are opening a new arena. It will be the best NBA venue ever built. It will be Silicon Valley billionaires with the best owner in the league, arguably, the best coach, the best GM, the best roster. Yeah, I think I'm going to go get involved in that Lonzo LeVar Ball thing. It's not happening. The NBA season starts tonight. The media, including Slam Magazine, needs something to talk about. There are subscriptions to sell. Kevin Durant leaving Golden State. I'll believe it when I see it. And I don't think I'm going to see it.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
So last two nights, Sunday night with Tom Brady, great two-minute drill to win it. Last night with Aaron Rodgers, great one-minute drill to win it. And we perceive those to be the best two quarterbacks in the NFL. Brady is the best quarterback. Aaron's very talented. And so Brady was talking yesterday to WEEI. It's a Boston radio station. It's always the station he talks to on Monday. And what he feels is what I see. New England's pretty good again.
I think we're starting to feel confident. Well, really what we can achieve, we put it all together for four quarters. And I think we all feel like there's play still out there and we're still getting familiar with one another. And if we can just keep grinding and keep practicing and, you know, keep making improvements, it's tough to stop us. So that's a good feeling.
Yeah, I still have my reservations about Josh Gordon, who I think is really talented and could be a huge bonus if he can stay clean post-Thanksgiving. I think a lot depends on him. Josh Gordon gives them a deep threat. He's a terrifically talented player who has a history of struggling with substances. So you cross your fingers, you root for the young man. He's super talented, and I think he's more important than we think. They've got the tight end. They've got the running backs. They've got the slot receivers. You got to be able to go over the top occasionally to beat a Pittsburgh and to beat a Kansas City with the way the NFL works today. But it's interesting, if you'd have asked me 8 years ago, so I watched Brady on Sunday and I watched Aaron Rodgers last night, Joy, and if you'd have asked me 8 years ago who over the next 8 years is going to get to the Super Bowl more, I would have taken Aaron Rodgers, who was going into his prime and it felt like Tom was going out of it. But this happens a lot, almost without exception. When you go back and look at legends in any field, the people who rise often, they deserve respect, but they get a series of breaks. And timing. Think about this. Look at Tom Brady in the last 7-8 years. Peyton Manning retires. His chief rival, the Steelers, have become increasingly noisy and dysfunctional. The best young offensive coaches appear to be going over to the NFC. Sean McVay, Kyle Shanahan, Doug Peterson, Matt Nagy, Sean Payton still maybe the best, NFC. And the AFC East, Tom's division, has gotten worse over the last 7 to 8 years. Used to be Herm Edwards is in there. Then Rex Ryan had some good defenses. It's gotten worse. And a lot of the quarterbacks drafted in the AFC in the last 7-8 years that were going to challenge Tom. Bortles, meh. Mariota, meh. Manziel was a bust. Paxton Lynch was a bust. Andrew Luck is hurt. Deshaun Watson has no support. Now, so Tom's gotten a series of little breaks. I'm not saying they're all massive, but they're little. Now let's go look at Aaron Rodgers. Okay, his primary rival is Drew Brees. He's still playing, and there's no question. He is still one of the top three guys in the league. Peyton Manning left Tom. Drew Brees is age better. Still looks like he's in his peak. The best offensive coaches in football have mostly gone over to Aaron Rodgers' side, the NFC. Again, Matt Nagy, the Bears in his own division. Sean McVay, Kyle Shanahan, Carson Wentz's coach, Doug Peterson. Many of the young quarterbacks drafted in the NFC to challenge Aaron Rodgers, oh, they've been great. Goff looks to be great. Carson Wentz appears to be great. By the way, when he comes back, Jimmy G appears to be really good. Russell Wilson's going to be a Hall of Famer. Cam and Matt Ryan will get votes for it. And also, whereas Tom's conference has gone downhill in the last 7 or 8 years, the NFC North is better. The Chicago Bears look like they have a very promising future. The Vikings have been really talented for 3 or 4 years. So, you know, this will probably never be built into greatest of all time. And I think Tom is that and will always be that. But if you look at rivals, quarterbacks, coaching, division, Tom's gotten a series of breaks, good breaks, and Aaron Rodgers has gotten a series of bad breaks. You think about who Tom really has to go through for the next couple of years. The dysfunctional Steelers, which New England owns, and Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid. Now, that's a real roadblock. That's real. But he's a baby. Whereas Aaron Rodgers is going to have to go through the combination of Goff and McVay, Jimmy G and Shanahan over the next 4 years, Breeze and Sean Payton and Carson Wentz and Doug Peterson. I mean, that's a real roadblock. And he's turning 35, Aaron, and he's limping more and more. He was limping by the end of last night's game. So Brady has had a few good breaks last 7-8 years. Aaron's had a few bad breaks.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
So the NBA season starts tonight. LeBron and the Lakers start on Thursday. They will be obviously the most captivating team. I've never in my career talked about the NBA in October or November of any note, but LeBron and the Lakers will be a topic. I think they're going to be somewhere between 46, 47 wins and 51. I think they'll get their footing about January and start rolling. An NBA scout told Sports Illustrated yesterday the Lakers roster, I think we said this a week ago, is better than Cleveland's roster last year, top to bottom. And I made the comparison about a week ago. I said Brandon Ingram is a better defender, younger, healthier, and I believe will be by the end of this year better than Kevin Love. Kyle Kuzma in 2018 is a better player than Tristan Thompson, who can't shoot. I'll take Rondo's assists and defense over George Hill. And I'll take KCP at a two guard over goofy, crazy, I love him, J.R. Smith. I also think the Lakers bench is better. They're younger. They're a better defensive team. They're longer and quicker. And LeBron's great with both. But here's the thing to remember, and this happens a lot. Things change quickly in sports. About 4 or 5 years ago, the West was loaded and the East was awful. The difference between the Western Conference and the Eastern Conference is not as great as everybody thinks. Now, the West has more stars, but let's look at the West right now, which the Lakers play in it. I think it's overvalued. Minnesota, they have a Jimmy Butler debacle on their hands. It will absolutely affect the quality of play. They're supposed to be a playoff team. Oklahoma City, you did see how the Westbrook-Paul George thing ended last year in the playoffs. Disarray. By the way, Westbrook's missing the opener. That's because they've had to mess around with his knee, scope it for the third time. The Spurs lost their best player easily, Kawhi Leonard. Portland, what the hell are they? New Orleans, DeMarcus Cousins, Rondo, gone. Houston, they got older. They got Carmelo. Some think they got worse. Melo's never been great for any locker room he's been in. Oh, no, by the way, Chris Paul's been hurt in each of the last 5 years. And then there's Golden State, which doesn't give a rip about the regular season. The only two teams in the West that feel young, hungry, and well-coached and really talented are the Lakers in Utah. Lakers in Utah, to me, have sort of a Boston Celtics feel, where you're like, they got some good young players. They're hungry. They're well coached. They'll take the regular season seriously. Not everybody in the NBA. Now, the bad teams all want to win. But in the NBA, it's about preserving yourself in the regular season. Most good teams don't care about playoff seeding. The Celtics do. Because the Celtics are going to win the East, and they would like to have home court advantage over Golden State. Open the series and close it against the Warriors. The Celtics will be a tremendous regular season team this year. They're good, and they'll take it seriously. Utah is a much better team playing at home than on the road. They're a young team. They need home court. They also, their style of play with Quinn Snyder, the coach, is very aggressive. They got Grayson Allen, who's a very intense player. They've got young stars. Utah will be a very good, take it seriously, regular season team that would rather host. Remember how Westbrook melted down in Utah? They'd rather host Westbrook than go on the road to Oklahoma City and face a Westbrook. Utah will take the regular season seriously and be a very good regular season team. And the Lakers. I mean, LeBron is not coming here. He was mailing regular seasons in mostly the last 2 years in Cleveland after he won that title. Okay, LeBron's going to take. LeBron's got a young team. He doesn't want to embarrass himself. There's a lot of doubters out there. Now, I don't think they're going to be great till January. Chemistry was an issue even with D-Wade and Bosch. Chemistry was an issue early even with Kyrie Irving and Kevin Love. They won't be great till January, and then they'll start rolling. But we are massively overvaluing how good the West is right now. There is utter dysfunction. Kawhi Leonard left the conference. New Orleans lost two good players. Oklahoma City is what they are. And by the way, Westbrook now in his 11th year. I think he's on the back nine. They're now messing around, scoping that knee for a third time. And in the East, I got Boston, Toronto, Philly, and Milwaukee. They're young, they're well coached, they're hungry, and they've added pieces. So I do think the Lakers are better top to bottom. They got a good coach, they got good length, they got good defense, they have an emerging star in Brandon Ingram. And I think if you look and you size them up against the Cavs player for player, they're better, they're deeper, they're younger, they're hungrier, they're longer, and they're more talented. They don't shoot the three ball as well. You got to cross your fingers that Kuzma kind of clicks on the three ball, that Lonzo gets a little better on the three ball. There's some finger crossing here, no doubt.
What's up, everybody? John Middlecoff, Three and Out podcast on Colin Cowherd's podcast network. If you like Colin's show, you will like mine. I talk a ton of football. This week, listen, it's time for the Packers need to change. Mike McCarthy has run its course. Dive into Mahomes and Brady, the showdown, why the LA Chargers are on the come in the college football playoffs. Again, John Middlecoff, Three and Out podcast. Listen wherever you find your podcast.
Herd Hierarchy.
Time is now. Let's go.
The top 10 NFL teams according to Colin. Number 10.
Seattle Seahawks are doing something here. They've won three of their last four, and Russell Wilson in that stretch, eight touchdowns, one pick, and a passer rating of 116. They have rebooted this franchise. They are 60% running, 40% passing. They've had 150 yards rushing in three straight games, and they lead the NFL in turnover differential. That is a real number. They taketh away and don't giveth back. Seattle right now, they've always played well at home. They have a Super Bowl winning coach. I think Russell Wilson's a Hall of Famer. They've stuck with an offensive line that was much maligned, and they're running the football. I mean, they ran it all over the L.A. Rams, Aaron Donald, and Ndamukong Suh. They went right at them and ran for almost 200 yards. I have Seattle at 10.
Number 9.
Minnesota. Listen, sometimes, let's be fair about Minnesota. They've already had to go to Green Bay on a TV game. They've had to go to Philadelphia. They've had to go to Los Angeles to play the Rams. At least they played Philadelphia. They've played real offenses, and they still lead the NFL in third down defense. The schedule for the Rams, they're going to face less dynamic offenses in the second half of the year. Or if they face them like Green Bay, they'll face them at home. I think Minnesota's a real team. I think they have the best receiving combination of Thielen and Stephon Diggs in the NFL. I don't always love their offensive line, and I don't trust Kirk Cousins against great teams, but they have faced some real dynamic offenses, and they lead the NFL in third down defense, which means they get people off the field. That matters a lot. I still like Minnesota.
Number 8.
Pittsburgh Steelers. Okay. I don't know. Does Le'Veon Bell, does he bring noise? I mean, James Conner's working. Seven touchdowns, could be eight. He's averaging 118 yards a game. You know, listen, we always talk about New England is a little bit loose in September. Well, let's be honest about it. This is a veteran team, veteran quarterback, veteran coach. Who says Pittsburgh's always going to be great in September? All I know, I watched them play Atlanta, and I watched them play Cincinnati, and they made big plays. The pass rush was exceptional. They're second in pass offense in the NFL. That matters in 2018, and they're second in sacks. By the way, Ben Roethlisberger, for the last five games, has had a 100-plus passer rating. So Todd Haley's out, new guy in, and I like what I see from Ben. I got the Steelers at 8.
Number 7.
Philadelphia Eagles. Again, Carson Wentz wasn't 100%. Frank Reich left. Well, now Philadelphia, defensive line. Now there are limitations here. I think they're kind of a bunch of guys at running back, and I don't think they're great on the perimeter. And their secondary is a work in progress. But again, third down defense, top three in the league. They get you off the field. That's very big in the high-powered NFC. and number two in rush defense. They make you one-dimensional. So I look at Philadelphia. I like their owner. I like their GM, Howie Roseman. I like their coach, and I like their quarterback, and I mostly like their line play. It feels like to me they're just going to get better as the season progresses. Philadelphia, a 7, but with a chance to move up.
Number 6.
L.A. Chargers. Listen, nobody's talking about the L.A. Chargers. They have a loaded roster. Pass rushers. They went and got Pouncey, the center. Phillip Rivers. Their receivers are every bit as good as the Rams, maybe better than the L.A. Rams. By the way, they pushed a talented Cleveland team all over the field for 3.5 hours. They physically dominated the Browns. Their only two losses are the Rams and the Chiefs. They don't really play a home game. I don't know if they have a great coach. They did a trick play this weekend that was miserable. But when I watch them on the perimeter, I watch them in terms of that rookie safety, Derwin James. Oh, God. He may make the Pro Bowl. He's incredible. That roster, they are loaded. I'm not sure they're not as loaded as the Rams. Number 6, Chargers.
Number 5.
Listen, Kansas City's the most entertaining team in the NFL. Let's just say it. For years and years, it was Aaron Rodgers. They're now the most entertaining team in the NFL. They also have perhaps the worst defense in league history. It's awful. It's 500 yards a game. Death by 1,000 cuts by New England. And also, Patrick Mahomes now has had multiple picks in each of his last two games. He's a gunslinger. He almost likes throwing off balance more than on balance, but they're wildly entertaining. From skill people to Andy Reid, schematics, play design, they're just going to outscore virtually every team they play.
Number 4.
The Saints. Now, the Saints are interesting. I like the Saints. Now, the schedule gets tough now. They got to go to Cincinnati. They got to go to Baltimore. They still have to go. They got to go to Minnesota. They play the Rams. Their schedule is going to get really, really interesting here. But here's the thing. When you can give a great quarterback a real defense, boy, you get Super Bowl teams a lot. They are number one in the NFL in rush defense. Okay, Sean Payton and Drew Brees have the best run defense in the NFL. And they have their number one in points. So they score and they make you completely one-dimensional. And typical of Drew Brees, they're not turning the ball over. They have the second fewest turnovers in the NFL. New Orleans may be the best team in the league. We'll know a lot in the next month because the schedule stiffens.
Number 3.
Ravens. This was my dark horse Super Bowl pick. They're going the opposite direction of the league. They want to play defense and run the football. Listen, you know how I feel about Flacco. When he's pushed, he's good. Otherwise, he's meh. But they've won 3 of their last 4. They're number one in the NFL in sacks. They're number one in the NFL in scoring defense. They're number one in the NFL in total defense. They're one of those teams that wins, and it's not that entertaining. They're the opposite of the Chiefs. They're not entertaining, but they're suffocating on defense in an era, in a year, when virtually nobody is on defense. Ravens 3.
Number 2.
On New England, best coach, best quarterback. That two-minute drill, it was cartoonish. It was an instructional video. 35 points plus in 3 games. I will say this. They appear to be more running than passing. I think what worries me, 2 things worry me about New England. Their pass rush is hot and cold. Situationally, it was pretty good against Kansas City when they had to flush Mahomes out, but that pass rush is inconsistent, and they really need Josh Gordon to work. He gives them a component over the top they do not have without him. I mean, that's why Brady took a locker next to Josh Gordon. You saw in that game, when Josh is in that game, hands, dynamic, strength, he really adds a component that I think they're going to need if they have to go to Kansas City or play the Chiefs again. Cross your fingers if you're a Patriot fan on Josh Gordon. I think they actually need him.
Number 1.
I mean, the Rams. I thought they'd lose in Denver. Altitude, snow, back-to-back road games. Now, injuries are creeping in. Cooper Kupp could be out. The corners aren't healthy. But it appears to be an egoless team full of stars. Marcus Peters has been great. Todd Gurley's the man. Donald and Ndamukong Suh get along. I think top to bottom, they're the best team in the NFL. But I will tell you this. They are flawed. Their pass rush at times is non-existent. And like every team in the NFL, you get them away from that home comfortable environment, they're not quite as dynamic and efficient offensively. What's funny about them, we see all their flash, but they're really a power running team. They're number one in the NFL in rushing. Todd Gurley's a monster. They're number one in the NFL in rushing. So for all the flash, they're a power running team.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
The state of Oklahoma must think I just hate them because I criticize Westbrook for sometimes being a ball hog. I was tough on Baker Mayfield for that police video. And I forgot that Lane Johnson played for the Sooners for a couple of years. The state of Oklahoma must just, I get a less than a 0-0 rating. I get a negative rating, I bet you, on radio in Oklahoma.
You need a pass to go to Oklahoma.
But I don't stop my car in Oklahoma. I drive right through as fast as I don't even stop for a sandwich at Panera Bread. I fly right through the state. But I will say I've been critical of Lane Johnson. Richie Incognito, Terrell Owens, Baker. If I'm critical, I invite you on the show, and I always respect. A lot of guys say no. Lane Johnson was willing to come on the show. I have total respect for he, Incognito, T.O., and Baker Mayfield, and via the Coward Global Satellite Network. Lane Johnson, another guy from Oklahoma. Good Lord, that state's got to hate me. Okay, before we get to the nice stuff, I have to confront you on something that drives me crazy. So you have a quote.
Put me on the grill. I'm ready.
Okay. Here's the quote. Let's put this up. I'd much rather have fun and win a Super Bowl than be miserable and win five Super Bowls, Lane. It's called work.
Does that get you mad?
You sleep for 8 hours. You go home and hang out with friends for 8 hours. Then you go to work for 8 hours. It's called work. Mm-hmm. Does it always have to be fun?
I don't know. Make no mistake about it. There is a lot of work being done here. But at the same time, I like to enjoy the people I'm working with, the coaches I'm working with, and go out there at the end of the day and try to get a win. And most time it goes in our favor. And when it doesn't, we go back to the drawing board and try again.
You watched New England Sunday, maybe. They looked like they were having fun. Isn't winning the most fun?
I mean, absolutely. Winning in this league is hard to do, and when you're doing it, it makes it fun. But just because you're losing doesn't mean you're not enjoying the people and the stuff that you're going through it with. I think in this city, when adversity hits, I think that we respond well. So whenever our critics come at me, I think it fuels us, and at the end of the day, I think it makes us play better.
You did the dog mask thing, and you know, I'm older. I'm not really a celebration guy. You know, you did the dog mask thing, and listen, you guys won, so it's fun. It was a thing, but you guys are now a target. You're not an underdog. Mm-hmm. So does the dog mask thing work from this point forward? Because you don't feel like a dog to me anymore. You feel like the favorites in the league along with New England.
I mean, I threw the dog mask as well as my Super Bowl ring in the Schuylkill, so there can be a manhunt for that. I mean, it absolutely means nothing to me at this moment in time. I mean, the only thing that matters is, you know, we have the Carolina Panthers. We're sitting here at 3-3. There's some games that didn't go in our favor. You know, there were some mistakes made by myself, you know, not protecting the quarterback. And, you know, I accept all that. I mean, I've had many troubles in my career. I've had many waves, you know, pushed in my face, and I just try to surf it and go on to the next obstacle.
It is interesting. You were a junior college tight end and defensive end. You go to Oklahoma, you become an offensive lineman, and you get drafted first round, fourth overall. Then you have some PED issues. Mm. Then you've been outspoken and controversial. Mm. You've had a lot of obstacles. Mm. I could make the argument that you're one of the five most well-known offensive linemen in the league, and this is all a strategy by Lane Johnson to be known, to get a shoe deal. Could I not argue that this is all great for you?
Shoe deal?
Well, maybe not a shoe deal.
I need some feelers. Nike wouldn't have me. I need some feelers.
But some of this, Lane, you're drawing attention to yourself. You're becoming a name. It doesn't seem to be bothering you. Is some of this strategy by you to get talked about and known?
I mean, I've had a lot of stuff blow up in my face. I think a lot of people were scared to really say how they really feel because of backlash. I mean, I've I've gone on Twitter after games. I've had death threats. I've had everything you can have. So when you see that over time, you really become immune to it. And as far as being an offensive tackle, really in this league over the past few decades, you only get recognized if you play, if you have a give up a sack or play bad. So there really is no identity. It's really a trench match in the middle, and then it's a 7-on-7 game with the outside guys. And really, at the end of the day, it all starts up front. And so if I can get my guys motivated, at the stake of me getting criticism, I think it works for the better.
By the way, you're willing to talk about this. There was a strip sack against Minnesota. Vikings beat you. And everybody mm-hmm. was saying, oh, boy, yes. Lane Johnson, he missed that. How does it feel to be an offensive lineman? And again, nobody talks about you. And then there's a play like that. Mm-hmm. It doesn't help your team, may have accounted for the loss. What's the rest of the day like for you, the rest of the night? Do you sleep that night? How rough is it?
I sleep. It's really just a technique issue. Really, on that play, I thought an edge defender was coming, overslid. And that's the intricacies of this game. It's really fine detail. There's a lot of stuff that goes into it. It's not just sliding, like Michael Irvin says. It's not as easy as it sounds. But really, In this game, this league, you have to have a short-term memory. So after that play, there was nothing else done. I feel like that was really my only bad play in the game. You go watch the rest of it. I'm one-on-one all the time. There is no chip pros around here, really. So, the guy got the better of me on that play, and it only fuels me.
Carson Wentz finally clicked last week. You look like, again, a team when Jason Peters comes back. At running back, you've had some injuries, but you look like a real team. You look like a final six or seven team in the NFL, which is not a surprise. You got a good owner, a great GM, a great quarterback, and you got good personnel. Mm-hmm. Carson Wentz is interesting. He comes from North Dakota. Like mm-hmm. you, he doesn't go to mm-hmm. Alabama, or he doesn't go. I mean, his route is different. Your route is different. When did you know Carson Wentz? Like, oh, this dude is the real deal.
Probably last year. I mean, as things got rolling, I remember when we played Seattle, and he scrambled to the right and made a throw about 50-50. You remember that throw, 50 or 60 yards?
Yes.
Close to the sideline. And I saw that, and I was like, I don't think I've ever seen this before. And that's when I knew. That's when I knew he was it. Just the way he carries himself, I know how you like your quarterbacks, even keel. No emotion.
Thank you.
Don't get too high. Don't get too low. Yes. You don't want to have moxie. You don't want to be cocky. You don't have to say anything. Just let your performance speak for itself.
By the way,
and that's what he does.
Do you know Baker Mayfield?
I was there right when he was leaving. Yes. Whenever I was leaving, I knew he had that kind of it factor. Just his personality. He was able to get teammates around him, follow him. He had that energy about him. And that's all I knew when I was leaving. And I just kind of saw everything sprout up whenever I was leaving. After I left.
Would you rather have a Wentz personality in the huddle, or would you rather have a Baker personality in the huddle?
Sometimes Wentz gets a little bit fiery. If you run your mouth to him, he'll run it back. And sometimes I do that just to test me. And let me tell you something. He'll come back with some moxie, with some personality. But to be honest, it really doesn't matter. At the end of the day, I have to do my job. Both of them are great leaders, but, there's a lot of stuff off camera that Carson, he's a fiery guy. He likes to get this team pumped up and, has a lot of charisma when he does it.
Let me tell you something. Your organization, they could have easily nixed this interview. You could have easily nixed this interview because I know my name in Philadelphia. You guys don't love me, but you came up. The Eagles organization said you can go ahead and go on Cowherd's show, and I appreciate it. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thank you. I mean, there's nothing wrong with taking a little bit of heat now here and there. That's the way life works, but it's all about how you confront it.
You were good. Thank you, Lane. Thank you. Congratulations. Cross your fingers. Jason Peters joins you on the O-line, and I'm not that big of a jerk, and I thought you were very, very likable today. I appreciate you coming on the show.
Surprised you. Thanks for having me.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
After almost 3 hours, Colin apparently hasn't gotten to the point yet. Quit holding out on us, Cowherd. It's the best for last.
So, Joy, this is your first rendition of this. We've done some football together. We move into the NBA season. Every year, I believe NBA teams are very easy to sum up. You have 5 starters, a couple of bench guys, and a coach. It's not a massive roster. You don't have a lot of, you know, pitching changes and bullpens and special teams. I think you go into seasons, it's the easiest sport to predict because you either have the coach and have the stars or you don't. Your bench isn't going to catapult you from 9 wins to 30. So here we go in the Herd, the annual 3-word NBA game. I'll take your team and describe it in just 3 words. Let's start with the Oklahoma City Thunder. OKC, how about OK knee? Russell Westbrook out for the opener. Third time they've gone to work on that knee. Okay, knee. Washington Wizards hit a wall. John Wall and Bradley Beal never won a title, never will. Never won the East, never will. The East is better. Their window closed. San Antonio Spurs. Where'd everybody go? Ginobili, Parker, Duncan, Kawhi. This is a borderline 7 or 8 seed in the West. Dallas Mavericks, Dirk Nowitzki. I know they love him. I know they're loyal. Come on now. Let's get more good players. Let's move past nostalgia. Minnesota Timberwolves. Just ask Woj. That's a little esoteric NBA thing. That's a mess. We'll have one of our guys break the story. Phoenix Suns. Phoenix rising slowly. I kind of like their young players. Devin Booker and a couple of young players. I think Phoenix just kind of makes a little push this year. Playoff push, I don't know. Little young, but I think they're starting to turn it around. Portland Trail Blazers. Hey, pot's legal. They have 2 players who play the exact same way. CJ McCollum, Damian Lillard. Trade one of them. Get a 3. Get a wing. Utah Jazz. Just Quinn, baby. I think after Boston, Quinn Snyder may be the best coach in the NBA. Grayson Allen, lads, add a little fire to him. I like what I see from Utah. Just Quinn, baby. Denver Nuggets. Can't name anybody. Everybody in the NBA keeps telling me how good they are. I don't ever remember a team winning like 60 or 58 where I couldn't name anybody. I mean, I can name people, but you can't mostly outside of Denver name anybody. Memphis Grizzlies. They still exist? They haven't been disbanded yet? Are they still bad on offense, good on defense? New Orleans Pelicans. Bye-bye, brow. Anthony Davis signed with Clutch Sports. My guess is he's not long for New Orleans. Brooklyn Nets, Jay-Z's worst investment. Bad, hopeless mess. Toronto Raptors, Kawhi Leonard's layover.
Oh.
Even he thinks that's funny. I think he's there 1 year and he's moving back to the States. Philadelphia 76ers. We done processing yet? Markel Fultz is going to start, so he was in the witness protection program for years, so that'll be nice, finally get him. New York Knicks, Durant's not coming. Can we stop thinking the Knicks are going to land free agents? They're not. Atlanta Hawks, young and the winless. Miami Heat, way to go. Dwayne's last year. Charlotte Hornets, the crying Jordans. Detroit Pistons, Griffin, I'm out. That was a bad contract. Blake Griffin, that was a bad deal. Stan Van Gundy's gone. They're a mess. Orlando Magic, Mickey Mouse organization. Come on, one time in 6 years, they've won 30 games. Milwaukee Bucks, It's hunting season. This team, top three or four seed, a chance to win the East. They're going to win a playoff series or two. Chicago Bulls. Remember the 90s? Cleveland Cavaliers. We've got Baker. It's going to be a bad year. It's going to be like 22 wins for them. Indiana Pacers. Indianapolis 500 team. It was a nice first round series against LeBron. Look at the roster. Look at the East. It's a 500 team. LA Clippers. RIP Lob City. LA Lakers. I can't wait. Sacramento Kings. I don't care. Houston Rockets. Harden and Soften. They're not as good defensively. I think they'll pay a price in June or May because of that. Golden State Warriors. Teamwork makes dream work. And the Boston Celtics, 2019 NBA champs.
You're all in on that, huh?
I am.